Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 69. Nice.
Wow,
right, nice.
Got it.
Easy. Free first try. Oh, my God, I messed up my camera. Oh. Wait, why am I still in spectate if my Nova's not leaning against the wall? BDO has no bugs, only features. Only features. That being said, I am Blue Squadron, host as always, joined by Blonde Bear.
Hello, it's me, Blonde Bear.
Bro, we gotta work on your intro.
And he likes to party.
Actually,
I like to party.
I need to. I'm just gonna pull fake in on the next podcast. And Jaycoon.
Hi, my name is Jaycoon. I'm an Awakening Wisomane, potentially Awakening Dosomane in the future. I do a lot of endgame PvE content, such as Olens, the Dungeons, and you can find me live over at twitch.tv/JaycoonVT, V before the T.
Playing PoE.
Are you kidding me right now? Are you logged into Path of Exile right now?
No. I'm just managing my workers, that's all.
Blonde, are you logged into Path of Exile right now?
No, I'm logged into RuneScape.
RuneScape?
Okay, I think that
even
Black
better.
Desert, no. I'm experiencing an amazing Black Desert feature right now. There we go. Okay, there we go. Awesome. All right, so there's a lot that's happened between the last patch and this one. I do want to say that our last podcast had some of the best engagement we've ever had, as we had our Doomer versus anti-Doomer, I'm already a Doomer discussion, between Blonde and I, and Jay participated. Was great with that. And I just want to point out, I want to say thank you to everybody that commented and gave your thoughts on it. I also want to say thank you that, like, I would say that there were about 100 comments, all upvoted like 50, 60, 70 times supporting me. And there were probably about, 20 or 30 comments that were not so much upvoted at all that supported Blonde. So it was basically 50-50 support on either side of the fence. Like the people just supporting Blonde and me almost equally. Like, I would win some, Blonde would almost win other arguments. Really cool. Really, really cool. But today, we're actually going to talk about the 200% BSR reworks that everyone was so hyped about and definitely asked for. Really cool. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the 200% BSR reworks as PvEers? We'll start with Jay.
PvEers, the animations look cool. I think some of the rework animations look amazing. Like, I feel like the Succession Sorceress one was my favorite, where she hovers into the air, turns into this like big red vortex, and then she like propels forward. The Kunoichi one was also particularly really good with all like the bouncing chakrams. And actually, for me, one in particular that I was a little bit disappointed by was, oddly enough, the one class that I played the most, which was the witch. Like, her 200% the Voltaic.
You didn't like that?
I didn't. Yeah, it's one of the most iconic spells for BDO, right? The normal skill is like this 360 AoE lightning, right, that pulses from the witch. And the 200% doesn't look like Voltaic Pulse, at least to me. It kind of looks like it should have been Lightning Barrage, the 200%, with the way they use like this lightning orb for it. It still looks great. It still looks amazing. I do like the detail that your lightning summon, Tet, he's helping you cast the spell, but it just doesn't look like Voltaic Pulse to me, is my criticism for it. And so, I don't know how usable it will be in PvE. should I get into like the PvP side?
Jay, or should we? Jay, you realize what? That in PvE, in order to get, I'm so sorry. In order to get to your 200%, you have to at least have the three.
There's a lot of compromises.
From the tongue, right? You say compromises. You have to objectively grind worse by not having your devils equipped.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
maybe
one is
I'll
ever
get into
using
the
this.
PvP side first.
Yeah. So let's look at the PvP side. Go ahead, Jay.
Mm-hmm. So as for utility and usage of the BSR, I do think a lot of certain classes will be able to make good use of the new rework. There's going to be three types of situations in particular that I think can utilize the 200% effectively. So one, it's any class that has a full iframe. during the 200%. So from what I've seen, Wizard Awakening 200% has full iframe. Sorcerer's Succession has full iframe. Kunoichi Awakening, they have full iframe. And it's a big AoE. So that's the first type. The second type that I think will be very useful is any of the reworks that have massive range so that they can safely use their 200% from far away, even though it's a super armor. So that would be, from what I've seen, Succession Ranger or also Succession Striker with their sort of like Kamehameha attack. And then the third type that I think will be utilized is any class that has a fast 200% that also allows them to move while they're using their 200%. So, you know, from what I've seen, Awakening Warrior has that movement. He can like move like multiple times during his 200% to reposition. As for the others, the rest of the classes who have a slow animation rooted in place 200% will have a much tougher time utilizing the 200%. I feel like if that's the case for those classes, then their 200% should be made strong enough so that it's a kind of like a high risk, high reward type deal. I haven't used the 200% yet this patch. I don't know how people have been utilizing them, but those are my ideas of how people will be utilizing the, you know, the other three types that I mentioned before. I think that if the classes that will be rooted in place, I think there should be, like, when I said high risk, high reward, it should either hit super hard or perhaps it doesn't hit very hard, but it's like a big CC, like component, like either like a big vacuum or some sort of utility, or maybe even perhaps, I don't know if people would be interested in them, you know, CCing through super armor, but it just doesn't do damage. It's just like a massive CC tool, right? Mm-hmm. And so those would be like the more, you know, utility parts of the 200% that I think will, you know, because when I think of long cooldowns, right, it's like you want to be using them, right? You want to be using those long cooldowns at the correct time. But as mentioned before, in PvE, it's just like you have to compromise so much, right? You're just grinding overall worse. And I think the only time people would use the skill in PvE is if it was much more accessible, either allowing the usage of the 200% without needing the 200% or having a way to achieve 200% without making a compromise in gear. Like, let's say if you're grinding mobs, you can reach 200%, but if you are in a PvP scenario, killing players will not allow you to go over the cap or something like that. Would be potentially a way for them to make it usable in PvE, and it's still a 20-minute cooldown, so you can't even use it for more than 3 times an hour, right, because of the 20-minute cooldown. So, but yeah, otherwise in PvE, it's still just only a visually appealing ability you can see in trailers if you don't participate in PvP. So.
Okay, so yeah, no, on that note, mm-hmm. they changed all of like the damage numbers that went into the 200% as well. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, the Succession Berserker 200% before was the best 200% in the game, hands mm-hmm. down. It just did so much damage. It was used in large scale PvP all the time. That was kind of Succession Berserker's identity, was to use 100 and 200%. Except it had a 30-minute cooldown before. Now it had a 20-minute cooldown, so Succession Berserkers were hoping that they were going to do a lot more damage. Fortunately, we have C-Zane clipped this for us because they tested the damage when it came out here. Let's take a look at this. Wow, much damage. Wow, big damage. Wow, couldn't even kill an archer. Couldn't even kill an archer. So basically, definitely couldn't kill the lawn here either. So, like, basically useless in this case. So you see the players laughing at it there. It's basically cooked at this point, at least as far as we can tell in terms of overall damage. It's really not doing any damage. So I'll be honest with you. I don't mean to be the doomer, but you know what? I took on that identity in the last discussion, so I'll just go ahead and take it here too. I have no idea why in the hell they're even developing stuff like this if they're not even going to let us use it in game. Like Jay said, mm-hmm. you can't use this in PvE. You cannot use this in PvE yeah. because you're going to be using your Devos, right? And you need at least the mm-hmm. 3-set effect from the Tungrad, plus I think accessories too, unless I'm mistaken. I think you need the accessory. I mean, you need
5-set. The artifacts. 200% baseline.
Well, you need the artifacts instead. So I think you can do 3-set plus artifacts.
Or you can use
the
artifact, yeah.
Yeah, but then yeah. you're crippling yourself. But
then you have to. Yeah, no, you can't use the Kabuas. Yeah.
So, like, you have to basically completely cook yourself in PvE. It's just totally dysfunctional.
For and something PvP, you can only use every 20 minutes.
Yes, for something well. You can only use every 20 minutes and it takes forever to cast. Sure, it gives you 2x the buff, but like, let's be honest, the 100% is just better. It comes out way faster and then it gives you half the buff, but it's up like way more frequently.
Yes.
So it just, it doesn't really make sense to use in PvE. And then if you look over at PvP, they've nerfed the damage numbers. I mean, these skills look really cool. I'll hand it to them. The skills absolutely look awesome. They're just, especially like witches. What you gonna stand here? Hold up. Where's the witch at? Hold up. Let me just, I mean, I agree with Jay. I think it looks really cool. I think the witch's skill looks really cool, but please pay attention to the protection she's got here.
It's super.
I mean,
armor,
she just yeah. She's just begging to have hands put all over those hips. Like it's absolutely while she's casting, it's absolutely obnoxious. I mean, the only class that looks like they can get things off are like Awakening Wizard. Is great because it's an iframe the whole time. Valkyrie, we saw the Succession Valkyries one, and Succession Valkyries was like, okay, well that actually looks pretty cool. Maybe it's got something on the Awakening counterpart now, because Awakening is always just objectively better for any sort of group content. But the Succession one looks pretty good. Okay, that could do a tremendous amount of damage. And then you scroll down, and the Awakening one is just by far the best skill in the entire game, because you're in iframe, it's a full suction that's massive, and then it does a tremendous amount of damage when you land. So there's really no way to stop it. It does a stupid amount of damage. You're in iframe, and it's a vacuum. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. But like, we're still not sure if this does almost any damage. You'll notice it's got 95% PvP damage reduction. And basically all of them have over 90% damage reduction in PvP, which means that they're not going to do any damage in PvP. You can't use them in PvE. Why did we spend so much time? Who asked? Who asked for this? But go ahead, Blum.
I mean, the last like three lines you just said was going to be exactly what I said. Okay, cool. Like, you have to run a very specific build to run it in PvE, so no one's going to do that. And for PvP, it doesn't do any damage, so we don't want that. So what is the purpose of adding this function to the game?
Yeah, awesome.
Either commit full send to, like, this is an OP ability, you get to go full in, or make it absolutely useless. So what was the point of developing any time into it? It's kind of absolutely nonsensical. Yeah, that's about how I feel. You kind of said it right in the last few bits.
Yeah, like it's absolutely obnoxious.
It looks cool. Looks cool.
You know what I mean?
That's great for cutscenes, YouTube videos, images, screensavers,
trailers.
But practicality. I don't think I've ever seen my scholar 200%.
Imagine cool. Literally trying to tape this to try to put it in a YouTube video. Okay, don't this up, because if you do, we have to stand around for 20 minutes and wait for you to get your BSR back. You know what I mean? Like, like, it's absolutely obnoxious. Like, look, like 200% are cool, but I would rather them, if at least I thought they were going to make them useful, right? Like, I thought that was the whole point of reworking tongue grad accessories, right? I thought that was the entire point of doing all of these reworks, and they just don't look useful in either aspect of the game. So We're left wondering as players, like, how long did this take you? Because like, PvP's kind of hurting right now, and like, we could really use some better PvP features, or just anything, progression, PvP, PvE, anything. Instead, we got Dekia level 2, where they forgot to update the Crescent Shrine. Like, they literally, the Crescent Shrine thing had exactly the same icon as the normal Crescents loot, like mobs. They didn't even bother changing the icon until this patch here. Just a little obnoxious. So the second thing we wanted to talk about, is this huge, I'll be honest with you, this kind of came out of left field. This is on the global app. These are down smash and just smash changes.
Yes.
And this is really big, balance wise. They are basically removing down smashes and air smashes and all types of smashes from most of the critical classes that were using them before. Things like Awakening Ranger, Zerker basically all around. I think Mystic and Striker as well got hit pretty hard. Guardian also got hit as well. They basically just removed a lot of the down smashes and air smashes from those classes' abilities, which I think definitely for Ranger, at least, for example, definitely changes a lot of the identity of the class. And they said they did this because the people were using down smashes instead of using knockdowns, and it was CC capping people. So they're taking the smashes off of the skills so that the bad players can use like normal CCs instead of down smashes to get the 2 second combo. It's just a really weird kind of out of left field. What do you guys think about it, Jay?
I think the mechanic of down smashes and CC resets, it makes it feel very reminiscent of fighting games like Tekken or Street Fighter. I don't know if you've played those games, but I always tell my viewers who are new to BDO that if they enjoy fighting games, then they'll probably enjoy BDO, as it's kind of like an MMO version of those fighting games with how the combat feels, at least for me. That's what got me into BDO in the first place, with how well made the combat system was. Definitely, there are certain classes that benefit much more from down smashes over other classes, and, you know, particularly any fast class, because, you know, if you're a faster class, that's kind of to be expected. Like, you know, a fast class would be more combo oriented, or a slower class would have a hard time comboing. But with the removal of a lot of the down smashes or altering of the down smashes, it makes it a little bit, you know, I think it's called like skill expression. It's like they're kind of removing a little bit of that skill expression when it comes to utilizing those kinds of like CC resets and stuff like that. Air smashes too are a whole doozy. They're so difficult to also utilize. I'm wondering why they have certain abilities in the first place to have air smash. I don't know if they should like rework the whole air smash situation where there's more opportunities for classes to air smash. But for those of you who don't know how air smashes work, I believe they only proc off float, right, while the player is in the air. And there's only very few classes that can float and then follow up with an air smash. I think the only one I can think of off the top of my head that can do that is like Ninja, but I'm just maybe thinking they can remove this. Maybe they should just remove this mechanic completely, because it's so difficult to pull off. So
Dark Knight,
what are you gonna say?
Yeah, Dark Knight has a lot of floats in its kit, and I'm fairly certain that Twilight Dash at least used to be an air smash. It might just be air attack damage. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that was when you were supposed to use Twilight Dash, was when they were in the air, because it did 2 times or 2.5 times as much. Jay, you're not wrong. Air attack damage is extremely hard to pull off. It is the highest multiplier in the game, but it simply adds more complexity to an already complex system. I don't think that they should necessarily just remove air attack damage and air smashes. I think it's probably fine. It's just really hard to capitalize on, so like it would be a little bit better if we
knew... It's very niche, I guess.
Yeah, if we knew how to actually use it. It's kind of like, you know how there's some abilities that say like counter on it.
Mm-hmm. There's a counter mechanic.
We still have no idea what that means.
All I know is that there's a counter on dagger stab for Witch and Wizard that I remember like trying to figure out what the heck it does, because I was initially thinking back in 2018, oh, does counter mean like if you use it while somebody's CCing you, you re-CC them back as like a parry or something?
That's
like that.
That's what I thought too.
That was not the case. I don't know. I still don't know exactly how it works, but there's a lot of like niche CCs in BDO too, like freeze. There's only a few classes that have freeze, like I think Nova and Witch and Wizard. I don't know if there's any other class other than Nova and Witch and Wizard who have a freeze mechanic. And then what's the other one? A suction, like a vacuum mechanic. There's a few classes with vacuum mechanics, like Nova, I think Mystic. What else has a vacuum mechanic? But some sort of like displacement movement.
Sork's Ultimate has a vacuum on it too.
I'm like wondering, should we maybe have more niche, like really cool, interesting niche CCs? Like, well, I don't know, like thing. A silence.
I would
or
completely
something.
Agree. I mean, not yet, Jay. I completely agree. I think they should have more stuff like that. I think that like terrain blocking abilities and stuff like that, I think they're kind of cool, and they add identity to classes like Succession, Nova's, Nova Wall, and then they took it away. In like 2 or 3 patches ago, they literally were just out of nowhere. Like, by the way, Shy Bubble doesn't block you anymore, and Nova Wall doesn't block it either. So like, they're just removing that kind of stuff from the game. I don't even really know, again, relative to who asked. Blonde, what do you think about this whole down smash situation?
It feels like some guy on the Korean forums just really had a hate boner for some ranger and was just like, oh, I'm going to type up this massive manifesto and I'm going to get these down smashes removed finally. Ah, you know, that's what it feels like. Because, I mean, I know people have had some qualms with down smashes because it's not really a fun mechanic to be based around when you just down smash. Because nobody, I mean, do you guys run a full down smash resistance build? Like, it's just kind of like one of those silly mechanics that you run into when you run into a very particular class. So it's like, Yeah, it's kind of annoying if you're going to be fighting an angel, and it's like, yeah, it's very RNG based, right? So it's like, mm-hmm. you know, this ranger could 10 duels in a row combo me to add infinitum, or, you know, I'll just roll positive and beat them every time. So I feel like it's just like, I feel like we've communicated for a long time as a player base to remove like RNG from CC, because there's already plenty of RNG from the game, but there's also still like an element of like uniqueness and surprise to fighting and stuff like that. That I think that this is just one of those misinterpreted things of like, yeah, we want RNG removed from CC, and they immediately think, ah, oh, down smashes, we gotta fix that, and it's like, I feel like it got lost in translation a little bit. I don't think they heard what we were putting down, so I think this is just one of those like cope responses of like, oh yes we will address your concerns finally. No this is, I mean, it's definitely annoying for whoever has a arch nemesis who's a ranger, but yeah, it's just one of those niche things you don't really come across too often, right? So it's just odd.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe instead of having like more RNG CC situations, we have more niche CC situations. So as I mentioned before, like silence could be a cool mechanic for a few different classes, and that would be their niche. And that, I guess that would prevent using skills, but you can still use movement skills or something like that. Snares would be the opposite, where you can't use movement skills, but you can still use attacks. Maybe there's could be a sleep mechanic where it's like a long CC and sleeping targets take increased damage on the first hit, but you can't get like a re-CC'd from it. And also, here's a really cool tidbit. If you eat an Amanita mushroom, you can get, this still works today, by the way, if you guys go buy an Amanita mushroom and eat it, you get a buff called Fear Resistance for 30 seconds, which makes me think that a long time ago, they had a Fear CC mechanic that was considered in BDO at one point, which I think that would work, like, you know, your character would start uncontrollably running away from the target that feared it. And why do I know eating an Amanita mushroom gives you Fear Resistance? Well, anyways, I think the CC system in BDO could definitely be, you know, expanded upon and open up more interesting ways to create new and dynamic ways to play the game. And it could open up more, like, again, more for sure ways of CC rather than just RNG ways of CC. So
I had enough of fears when I got feared by Fiddlesticks in League of Legends. I do not like fear as a mechanic. It makes me lose control of my character. Really annoying. Very frustrating, but I wouldn't mind things like, again, like Nova Wall, Shy Bubble. If Mystic like surfed on her dragon and brought like a tidal wave through everyone and it knocked a bunch of people up in the air or something, I was kind of hoping that was the direction they were going to go in with some of the 200%. You know what I mean? Like something like that. Big impactful skills, but I suppose you don't really need stuff like that since large scale PvP is dead. You don't ever need to worry about people having to make plays. You know what I mean? You don't need to ever worry about developing that content anymore. Kind of a win-win for everybody. Okay, so let's think a little bit about this new Abyssal skill and how obnoxiously long this took to get out for Scholar. We literally released Dosa, and Scholar still wasn't finished yet. Wrap your head around that. For Scholar just got her Abyssal skill, and it actually looks really good. The 8 people that are still playing the class, but like it looks really, really good. But like I think they added it kind of as a flow, and in fairness, Dark Knights is also kind of a flow, and I think that's just the direction that they're going in with this stuff. So like I don't know, what do you guys think about the new Abyssal skill and just like Abyssal skills in general?
I think the Abyssal skills were initially introduced to try and add a utility tool for a class, but a lot of them are kind of poop. And the one I saw for Scholar was basically not a utility tool, but another, you know, a flow attack that seems to seamlessly fit into the rest of her kit, which is not the case for a lot of other classes, which is awesome for her, but what the heck for the other classes? And it kind of makes me think, like, should we maybe, you know, should some of the more useless skills or less common skills be completely reworked or perhaps even trimmed out and maybe even re-added within the current skills? For example, Dagger Stab, right, from Witch and Wizard. Nobody uses a skill, and your Abyssal skill replaces the keybind for it. And so the only way to use Dagger Stab alongside your Abyssal skill is to manually put it on your hotbar. And so I'm like thinking, instead of removing Dagger Stab and and also instead of just having it in the game for nobody to use, let's put it on magical evasion. So let's say you forward dash and you also dagger stab at the same time, which it still does have a CC component to it. It has a stiff CC in PvP. So if you wanted to, you could maybe engage with a forward magical evasion and you also did a stiff CC alongside it. So that would be an example of like trimming the ability and then re-implementing it. I guess you're baking it into other abilities, which kind of makes, actually, now to think about it, they kind of did that with SQ, right? With Earth's Calling for Witch in Awakening. I keep using Witch as an example because I just know Witch so well. Mm-hmm. But they put Earth's Calling, they baked it into Fissure Wave. So now it just does it with Fissure Wave and just auto-casts it. And I feel like they could do that a lot with all of the, you know, older classes, older abilities that just don't have... like all their useless skills, they could re-implement it in that way. But I don't know, maybe I guess some people could argue that having bad abilities could teach a player, hey, don't use that and use this other ability instead. But at the same time, if we just have good abilities and useful abilities, they'll just use them regardless. So yeah, I'm thinking, like, again, like the abyssal abilities, some of them are really good, some of them are really bad. I feel like the really bad ones, I'm just like Wusa. I think Wusa is a pretty good example of like nobody uses the Wusa freaking abyssal skill. It's just, I don't know if they even thought about putting any thought into creating it, but it's just, it's so.
Oh, it's really bad. Oh, Wusa's is really,
it's really bad. It's,
Megu's is like usable in PvP, uh-huh. But like, mm-hmm. It's. Not gonna be using PvP.
Okay, so for those who don't know what the Wusa abyssal skill is, you take like two steps back initially in a forward guard. It's a super armor first. You super armor twirl back like 2 feet. It's like so short, so it's not even usable as a movement skill.
I don't think it's protected.
And then
is it?
When you press, it's unprotected when you use the attack component of it. You don't have to use the attack component, but the movement component is so tiny that it's not even useful as a movement skill because you just move 2 feet back. So it's protected super armor twirling backwards and then forward guard. And then if you use the attack ability, it's unprotected, which is a wonky CC, but it's so difficult to land without getting, you know, it's unprotected CC. It's not even that far range too. It's just not very usable. And I feel like they could re-implement that in some other way, as they just either make it move more and stuff like that, or add that CC component baked into something else, like your thunderstorms or something like that. I don't know. They could do so many things with some of the older abilities, I feel like. So
yeah, so like I'm really nervous about them changing like the old abilities, because like every time they seem to try to change something or update it, we hate it and it's terrible.
Right? Like, can it be more terrible than changing dagger stab? Is it? And like, again, that's an example that I'm using, is like completely useless ones where they don't have a niche, you know?
Yeah.
Can it be worse than that, potentially?
I mean, like, Dark Knight uses a lot of her skills. I would be worried that, like, if they took away some of the skills from the classes, that people would actually kind of be upset. But those are only, like, the super hardcore players anyway. We don't care about those players anymore. As Blonde mentioned on the last podcast. Blonde, what's your take on the abyssal stuff? Abyssal skills, do you think that, like, the old outdated skills need to be reworked? Or what do you want to, like, what do you think?
Could someone explain to me what an abyssal skill is?
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
I don't even know what this means. You guys use abyssal. I'm like, new school, cool. Why is it called abyssal? What's it from?
You know, for the Zerker, he does the like little jump back forward, like the jump back skill.
That's the new skill they just gave everyone, right?
You get it from the Magnus, right?
The Magnus skill.
Yes, it's the Magnus skill, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, you're saying abyssal, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Did I miss a whole ability in every single skill tree? Like, what is you talking about?
Should I not have said abyssal skill? Well, in the global labs,
correct. I just have no idea what you're talking.
In the global, I'm like, what labs, is this new skill?
And it's, so not, it's not a Rabom. It's
like
not
France
the obvious
skill.
It's not the awakening to a succession skill. It's not the
Blonde's like, oh my god, wait,
other
new,
skill. Like, which,
new skill.
Which skill?
Wait,
we got 20
on.
Different skills from different things. I don't know what does abyssal mean this time. Sorry, I was lost for a second. Okay, abyssal is the one from the Magnus.
It's the Magnus,
okay.
Skill. They just labeled it as abyssal skill in Global Labs, so that's just what I was referring okay. it to. So
no, no,
I
totally.
Apologize to anybody, any
no,
viewers
no.
who are confused as well about.
No,
I'm sure somebody
I'm
else
sure
is
only me. I'm sure it's only me.
I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt, but
I don't know. I don't know. Abyssal skills are cool. More skills are cool. You know, you might want to utilize one function over another. Different grind spots require mm-hmm. different rotations. I think that it's cool to have a really fully fleshed out tree to try a bunch of different abilities and different stuff. I think that's fine. I think that's cool. I think that's something that you know, the game should continue doing, where, you know, you've got so many different grind spots, some that are tower spots, some that are rotational spots, some that have big packs, some that have little packs. I think that having a variation of abilities is really good. I think that Beta does a good job where we don't have just one ultimate rotation for everything. I see people like you, for example, Jay, you built a very specific skill build for doing Highlands. There's some skills that I see Kandaya doing for Tungrad Ruins. I like that there's a sort of rotational of abilities. So, like, if we can have, like, oh, big AoE but small damage here because there's so many mobs, or small AoE but big damage here, different stuff like that. I'm fine with variations, and this is their way to add those abilities and stuff. I think that there's nothing really wrong with that. I think that's cool, but it does have to be useful. If you end up getting a brand new skill and it's not even useful, then eh.
In
like,
any
for example,
situation, it's just useless in any situation, or there's another ability that just does the niche of that ability better.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
like, let's say you get an ability that's a movement skill, and then you just have something else that has its lower cooldown, or it has better protection, and it just does that niche, like, just like significantly better, right? So I feel like a skill should always have, like, oh, it needs to at least have its own like standing, right? That another class, another ability just doesn't replace it, right? Because you can just why do this when you can just do this instead.
Yeah, right? Like, for example, the Zerker's ability where he does the hop back thing, I think that's like really useful. There's placement issues with it, there's great.
Yeah,
the only other hop movement thing you have is like the. Yeah, I think that's totally fine. It's not necessarily something I'm going to use for damage, but it's great for repositioning when I do remember to use it, because I always apparently forget about it. But yeah, I think that that's totally fine, and I think abilities like that are cool. The new Scholar one looks all right. It's cool. Like, as long as it has a function, I'm sure someone will find it. But the problem is, I think people get really complacent, especially with this kind of being like a. I'm gonna turn my brain off in grind mode game. I think that, like, it gets kind of tough when that's kind of the attitude presented. So people are like, new ability, cool, just gonna keep doing my rotation because I don't need to change it. But I think that, well, like, maybe that mindset shouldn't be the one that they're addressing. They should be addressing, like, fun new players that are like, oh wow, everything's cool and fun, I'm enjoying this, you know, cool new ability.
Well,
woo-hoo.
The thing about the Scholars one is just it just seamlessly fits into the rest of her kit. It just flows after regular abilities, and it does great damage. Right. So
I think
fits in. And so
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I think Scholar is one of the most well flowing classes in the game. I think that Megu was like the first step to like finding out how do we make everything flow into everything. And I think Scholar is the answer to that question. It's like the final stage of that. And I really, truly wish more classes were designed like Scholar, because it feels so fun and fluid and enjoyable. It's even playing Dosa. I'm liking Dosa, but I do miss Scholar because it's just so just. It's the designer is fantastic. For I heard they like have like a specific person or a team that manages one class or whatever. Whoever's doing Scholar, chef's kiss. They know what they're doing for sure.
Yep. I like Dosa, but the Pepsi sponsorship kind of killed it for me.
I know, right? We should be able to change those colors.
Yeah, more of a Coke guy. To be honest. Yeah, no, abyssal skills I think are fine. But they're absolutely right. I would back up what you guys said in that, like, it. Gotta be useful at something. You can't just like add it. It's kind of like the Rabam skills. I call them Rabom skills, but I think you guys, what do you guys call them?
Rabam?
Yeah, I call them Rabom skills.
I got my Rabams.
I call
on.
Them Rabom skills too, but later on, as the game progressed, they changed the name from Rabom to skill enhancements. And if anybody was curious why older players call it Rabom skills, is because it was originally called Rabom because there's an NPC in Valencia called Rabom. She's the skill instructor. And she developed the technique of combining two skills to create a new skill. So that's why it's called Enlightenment. That's the lore. But okay, yeah, in the newer age of BDO, they call them skill enhancement skills. I guess it's easier to understand that. But yeah, that's the lore behind Rabom skills. Go ahead.
Well, a lot of those are useless too, is part of the issue. It's like, I'd love like useful actual skills. You know what I mean? Okay, so we have not gotten a chance to talk about after Blonde, the big doomer on the last podcast, and I was trying to be PMA about it the whole time. We haven't gotten a chance to talk about the Global Labs and then the Land of the Morning Light Part 2 release. So, like, after we did the UN podcast and the Global Labs, and there's been a lot of doomer content lately going on in the game, and then Blonde and I again went at it at length while Jay listened to us. It was great. Like, I'm curious, what do you guys think about the Global Lab patch, them releasing the new expansion, some of the worldwide? I'll admit, a lot of us thought, myself included, Bicep included, a lot of us thought that when they said global release for all the co-op guild bosses, that all the co-op guild bosses would be released to the world at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how they worded it on the Global Labs. And Prolibus has been very indignant that they did not lie to anyone. And if that's the case, then they were basically deliberately misleading people with the wording in that case. But we will get global releases for like 3 of the 7 bosses, at least when Land of the Morning Light 2 comes out. The problem is all Korea will get in that patch are the 3 bosses. We have to work our way all the way through the expansion and then do the bosses, which means that Korea, once again, is going to figure out the mechanics before we actually get to test it again. Do you feel like the developers are kind of stepping more in the right direction, especially with this Global Lab patch? I will say that the War of the Roses changes that they have were literally just directly what I had told them months ago. And then they literally admitted, it wasn't necessarily just me, I'm sure other people told them this too, so like I'm not taking full credit for it, but like they literally admitted in the Global Lab patch, they said, yeah, it took us too long to change this, we're sorry. Which I thought was a win, for sure. Along with another, you know, few other changes that are kind of coming to the game. They're nerfing Zerker and things like this. Do you feel the game is stepping in the right direction? Or do you feel like we're still headed towards Doomerville and we're kind of where we were before? I'll start with Jay, since he's never going to get to speak again. Once Blonde talks.
I mean, I would love for them to continue to step in the right direction. I haven't been able to participate in War of the Roses, though. The few weeks that I were, like the few times that I was present for War of the Roses, like I was able to, you know, be home on time. I just wasn't picked, so that was unfortunate for the RNG portion, but. I mean, yeah, if you say that they're making changes, you know, that you have suggested or like the community have suggested towards War of the Roses and they're going to step in the right direction, that's great. That's amazing. Yeah, I would love for PA to keep listening to the players and to keep making those changes a little bit faster, because actually Blonde and I were talking a little bit earlier before in the Old One precast when you weren't here about how it's interesting how like the game's only changing as the game is like dying. Like, why does the game have to start dying before the good changes happen?
True.
Why can't they just like make the good changes while the game is good? And so I really hope that they go towards that direction is what I'm. Yeah.
It's crazy that Jay's stealing my takes from the precast.
That's insane. He wants to go head-to-head, bro. That's crazy. Jay-kun, you've
what
given
else,
your
what else,
very
what you got to say,
hold on,
huh, bud?
Jay has given his very original opinion. Jay has given his original opinion. That was blonde.
It's our opinion.
Jay, now that you've given your own original opinion on the matter, blonde, would you like to take a completely different stance or just copy Jay's idea?
Yeah.
All right, Blonde, go ahead.
what can I say? Jay already said it. I agree. It is kind of weird. I've seen the commentary on Reddit and in different Discords over the last week where it's like, oh, isn't it crazy that all of a sudden all the guilds are quitting and BDO's dying and now all of a sudden they can do some changes in this game. Isn't it so weird? That's so coincidental how all of a sudden the game Gets all the necessary changes we asked for at the moment. All these guilds are quitting. That's, oh my gosh, that's so crazy. Wow. I do understand that. But at the same, like, for example, the break glass in case of emergency berserk collab. You know.
Oh my god. Oh yeah.
You know that didn't just come out of
insane.
It blows my mind because everybody's been thinking about it. And they have plausible deniability because they had that costume contest on the forums that said, oh, whatever class gets the number one spot, we'll rebring that costume back. Yeah, right, bro. There's no shot. That is their plausible deniability to say, guys, you've been working on this for a while. This is definitely not like, we didn't do this just because everybody's quitting and we want to make money. No. This is because we care about you guys and we care about what you want.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Psycho. No shot, bro. There's no way. There's no way.
Don't look now, but you're dooming. I love this look on you. Absolute on the ground,
realistic journalism, okay? 100%. All the comments I'm seeing on Reddit and in different places and discords and stuff, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're bringing the berserk costume back. But that same person that's saying that is gonna buy it. You know it. You know that guy's gonna buy it. He's not even playing the game. He's not even logging in and playing. But that dude is gonna buy at least two or three berserk costumes. That guy's gonna buy the Griffith costume. Okay, it's gonna happen. There's no shot you're not, because you have no idea if this event's gonna come back. Feels bad for every person that had the costume for the last 10 plus years. Sucks to be you. It's no longer exclusive. We're going ahead and re-releasing it, and you have no idea when it's coming back. It could. It could never come back. It'll only come back if everybody quits again. But we're bringing it back because, you know, we got at least what, 20,000 to 30,000 players are about to buy at least one costume at $22 USD. That's at least $1 million, right? You have 50,000 players times 2 is 100,000 times 20 because it's another zero. That's $1 million from one costume being released. There's no way that's just an accidental coincidence. Okay, that's just $1 million. That's not saying every single person that's gonna buy the Griffith one, man. No way. It's unreal. Oh, and then, like, all of a sudden they open their eyes like, oh my gosh, we gotta nerf the Zerker 200. What were we thinking for the last 5 years? I can't believe it. We have to fix this, guys. What are you doing on the floor? No way. It's only because they saw what Chonation quit and others. It doesn't take more than like 5 minutes to enter the code. Oh, we gotta go into the source code. Okay, edit Zerker 200%. Instead of doing 10,000 damage, do 1,000 damage. Oh my god. That was such an easy fix. They literally deleted a zero, and now the clip season showed Zerker's fixed. Finally, good game.
Wow.
It's insane.
Oh God, I'm going to be honest with you, Blonde. The first time, Blonde, in the history of the podcast, I could not agree with you anymore.
PA Dev saw the Berserker 200% for the first time last month and decided to fix it.
It's so sadly obvious that the only immediate attention we're getting is specifically from problems that we've had for years, but all of a sudden we see a declining player base, we see a declining spending base,
and we're like, oh crap,
it's not just the new players we need to entice. We need to maybe look at some veterans or people that have been playing for a hot minute and look at their opinions. Okay, let's boom, boom, boom. We're cleaning up. Okay, we cleaned up that guy that hates Rangers and all those knockdown, down smash craps. Okay, now we fix Berserker, maybe add some cool 200% to some other classes, and Berserk collab. It's like, who's not going to love every single one of those updates? But you can't tell me it's not absolutely coincidental. Why didn't this come a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when this commentary came in immediately, unanimously? It wasn't it wasn't like there was one or two guys that was just like, you know, guys, I think Berserker's a little busted. It's like, oh my god, I really would like the Berserk outfit back. What are the chances all this comes at the same time?
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
So, yeah, no, it's like really obvious that, like, dude, you tell people, I literally was like in no uncertain terms. Like every time I went live, I was like, guys, it's very important that you speak with your wallet, because the only way we get them to listen is to just, you know, talk with your wallet. And then suddenly, if I go to the Steam charts right here, oh, shit, you can see just how far down we're hitting. And we're not even, by the way, 13.9 last week was the average. We are now peaking at 13.9. And our average is now 11.6 24 hours ago. And this is just the Steam charts, obviously. But it shows trends, right? It wasn't until we literally reached our lowest point, one of our lowest points in the history of the game, if you look back on Steam charts here. It's literally one of our lowest points in the history of the game that we're now like, oh, okay, yeah, we're sorry. We were late on this change. We'll change this. Here we go. Yeah, we're listening there. Okay, yeah. And, oh, what was that thing that they wanted to... Oh, yeah, we got to bring... They said they wanted collabs. Let's just bring the only good collab that we had in. What's it? Berserker collab? Not the Bugatti one, you're sure? No, okay, yeah, pull the Berserk collab in. What they don't understand... Look, I'm excited for the Berserk collab because, to me... Boycotting the event is only buying the outfit 3 times. Okay. Like Blonde said. You know what I mean? No, like that's no. Basically it.
No.
Right? That's basically it. No. And there's Jay smiling. You know what I mean? Like that's literally it. That's the problem here. Like the biggest problem is exactly what Blonde said. The only thing that made the Berserk the outfit, I'm just gonna say it, guys. The outfit sucks. Okay, you don't buy the Berserk collab outfit because the outfit looks good. You buy it because you're the only one that had it, right? That's what made it look cool before. So you saw somebody walking around with that, you're like, holy shit, that guy has the Berserk outfit. That guy's an OG, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it meant. But now I feel like it's that scene in The Incredibles when everyone's super...
Nobody's super.
Exactly. When everybody's one guy. Super, no one is. So
there's
now one guy everyone
I
is going to
the boss trains. There's this one guy I would do the boss trains with, and he was the only guy who was on like his actual main warrior, and he would do Cat's Variac. And this dude was in his Guts costume. He wasn't in a guild. My guild actually tried to recruit him at the time. We were in some PvE guild. And we were always like, that dude's so cool. He's got the Berserk costume. He's like, yeah, I just do world bosses, or I do field bosses for fun. And it's like, what a psychopath. And I'm just thinking to myself, that's a dude with the Berserk costume. This guy's been around for years. This dude's just living his best life. And now that guy is going to be surrounded by like 20 clones in the same outfit. And he's going to have no uniqueness, no nothing special. He's going to be a normie amongst everybody else. And it's just like, that's so sad.
It's brutal.
Sucks
man.
To be you, bro. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, dude. Like, I can't believe it's the exact same outfit. That's the brutal part. Like, I thought that maybe...
No variation. They just turned the code back like, on. They just clicked the on button.
Here's the thing. But League of Legends did this too. People got really upset that they couldn't get the Pax Sivir or Pax Twisted Fate or Pax whatever, right? So they brought the skins back, but they made them slightly different. So, like, you have Neo Pax Sivir, and then you had Neo, you know, Twisted Fate, whatever. So players could buy it. It looked really similar, but, like, it wasn't quite the OG. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you still had that value. This is literally just like, all right, turn it back on. We're losing too much money. Like Blonde said, we're losing too much money. We got to turn that back on because, like, we're not going to make it. Like, I guarantee you right now that the game bottomed out really hard. And it continues, like, currently, I'll be honest. Have you guys seen my Renaissance Fair? I'm doing my best to turn this around. I'm doing my best to turn this around. Hopefully you guys got excited because the riddles are really cool. And I'm going to release 5 more next Wednesday because they went so well. I got such good positive feedback. I'm going to release another 5 riddles on Wednesday. But that being said, I put on this massive event. Okay. There's a cosplay competition. There's an art competition, a music competition, unique prizes, lots of money on the line. And then there's Mysteries of Summer on top of it. And do you know how much Pearlbus supported that, bro? I'm running the biggest event of the entire summer. I'm literally, as a content creator, one guy in his house putting on the biggest event of the Black Desert Summer. You understand that the week before this, we didn't even have a single event in that patch. This time, we got like the reskinned horse event and all this other stuff, but like, that's it, bro. Like, and they don't, so they're not supporting it at all. I guarantee it's because they're upset with me, but like, that's fine. Don't support it. It just makes you guys look bad. That just sounds like a you problem. Like, I've kind of gotten used to this, but I'll admit, if I was Pearlbus and I'm thinking with a business mindset and you have a content creator that's going to run an event that big when your company's like hurting, how many other content creators are running really big events right now? Because nobody does. Everybody's like, well, this abandoned ship. Right? Abandon hope, all ye who enter here. Like, that's basically where we're at. And I'm putting on this massive event. Wouldn't you want to support that? With, like, everything you've got in the tank? Because here's the deal. I know they got budgets for this stuff. I know that they have budgets for how much they can support people every quarter. And no one else is running events. So why would you not just dump the budget into the biggest event of the summer? It's just wild to me. It's literally insane. Right? But like, oh, now we got to release the collab, like the Berserk thing, when people have been asking for it for years so that they can buy it, like the FOMO outfit. And like you said, kind of interesting that they would release it at this moment, right? And all of a sudden, both the last Global Lab patches are like, okay, okay, all right, here's the Zerker nerfs. Okay, here's the, all right, we're going to nerf the 200% on Zerker 2. We'll listen to your War of the Roses suggestion. Still not listening to Node Wars yourself. It's open world PvP. Who? You know what I mean? Like, it's, oh my God, man. It's infuriating. I will say that they've begun stepping in the right direction. A little bit. Tiptoeing. Because
if it continues, correct. Hey, then it correct. Wasn't just a fluke. If this is something that's going to occur every week, we're getting the class balances, we're getting all the OP classes nerfed, everything's getting in line, we're going to keep doing this and that. If they're going to continue to listen to feedback, cool. It's not just a fluke. It's not a one-time thing. Every week or every other week after this, we're going to see a Global Lab with a big change. That's 100% what people correct. Want to see. But the lack of like any open communication, which is unfortunately something we've always talked about, where it's like, just give us an idea of what your head's in the direction of, right? Like, that's all people want. We want to know that, hey, at least you know we're in your mind and you're working on the code for it. Right. Anything like that. This is one of those updates that's kind of like that, but the coincidental timing kind of makes it kind of iffy. You don't really know if this is really it or not. So it's like, I don't blame anybody for being kind of concerned or upset, you know? But yeah. If it continues, this could be it.
We got to keep tiptoeing.
Maybe we are back.
Yeah, we got to keep going maybe in the right direction. The global release for three of the bosses, okay, that's a little bit better, right? Like that's better than, because you know that those fuckers were going to release that shit to Korea first. Like, it's 100% Korea was just going to get everything. Also, did you see the update? This is the, here comes the icing. Are you ready for the icing? The update on the Land of the Morning Light release is they go, okay, by the way, just to be clear, you're only getting three of the bosses. So you're not going to have the English dub ready, and that's why we were holding it in the first place. That's why we didn't get the content at the same time Korea did? Is because the English dub wasn't ready? Holy,
it's funny because people have been saying it for the last like what, 3-4 expansions of like, hey guys, we don't really care about that. Like, there's some people that do and that's great, but they'll go back and revisit it when it comes out. Let us just have the content. Let us have it. I mean, that's been a nonstop constant feedback where it's like, yeah, just kind of like give us the sauce and then worry about it later, please.
I turned like, it to Korean dub in the first, like when I was doing Line and Morning Light, I just turned it to Korean dub because I just
it sounds better.
Yeah.
Why because wouldn't
you're,
you?
You're in like, you know, the Korean culture, you know, you got like, that immersion with the Korean talking. As long as you got the subtitles there, it's basically like watching a Chris Pauly video. Like it's awesome. Like it's really good. That being said, like I think that They really kind of messed up not releasing it globally to everyone at the same time. They are stepping towards the right direction here, but like you can see now why Korea, every time we get together for the UN podcast, we're always flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. We're typically mad with Korea because they get the content first, right? That's our perspective. We're like, what the hell? We don't have the content. And Korea is mad with us because they feel like they get the content and it's not released in the West until it's actually finished, right? Yeah, they get the unfinished version. Then we have to wait a month, right? And they hate the West. They hated us until we had the UN podcast. And we were like, wait, you guys hate us? Wait, we hate you. Wait. Wait. It was like that Spider-Man meme. Like, wait, hold up. Whose fault is this? And then we all looked at the developers and we were like, Jay? Like, bro, why is everyone so like... This is not good for anyone. When you release it in just one region before the rest of the regions, it's literally not good for any of the regions. Korea's upset because they feel like a test region. We're upset because we don't get the content at the same time and we don't feel like we get to give feedback. That's a huge reason why it feels like they only listen to Korea is because it releases in Korea at least 1 month in advance. Korea gives feedback. They fix the bugs. They fix all this stuff. right? And then they release it to us and they're already on to the next thing. Like they just, we try to get feedback. They're like, no, it's already perfect. And they've just moved on. So we're talking to like a brick wall. Like that feels really bad. And that would be different if you released it globally. We all gave feedback together and then you changed it. Okay, because then we don't know that it's coming from Korea. We can pretend and cope that you're actually listening to us in that case. Am I wrong? Mm-hmm, like that's yeah. That would help tremendously. It legitimately would. It's obnoxious, dude.
You know what else would have been cool? Because you mentioned earlier that the only reason why the expansion was delayed because of the like the English dub and stuff like that. You know what would be really cool is if some of the content creators could, I don't know, dub a random ass NPC just like in one of the, you know, villages or towns, and then you could hear them do the line and stuff like that. That'd be cool, like little Easter egg, you know.
I think it would be amazing because the content creators are good, typically good entertainers, right? So they would give the NPCs actual personality, right? Like you walk up to Fugar and you hear that blue squadron voice going, "Is that a great sword? Are you just happy to see me?" You know, because Fugar's kind of a player. You know what I mean? Fugar is kind of a player. Remember, he wanted to date that girl and she turned him down and we had to go and like tell him and like I broke the, you know, we break the news to him, whatever. That's like part of the quest line, right? Like you could like give him a lot of personality, like have a guardian walk up and say, "Oh, hi there." You know what I mean? Like you just, "Oh, holy moly." You know what I mean? Like you could like low key hit on your character regardless of what class you had. And it said something specific, wouldn't that be like literally the coolest NPC that we currently have in the game? Currently, our coolest NPC is D.Va. And do you know why D.Va is our favorite NPC? It's because he goes, "I'm D.Va, the storage here. You can even store your worries here." And you're like, "Thanks, D.Va." You know what I mean? Like, like that's everyone else just sucks. You know what I mean? Like they don't have any personality. Like, I think that, like, if you let Choice voice act, like, any of the... If Zethian got to voice act the stable keeper, are you telling me that dude wouldn't ASMR you? Like, that would be so sick.
I know.
You want to pull that horse out? I know what I'm not pulling out tonight. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be sexual. Like,
whoa.
We're like, oh, hey. Your horse has been waiting
there. ASMR dub of video.
Yeah, it would be so... Oh, my God. It would be so content. Like StarCraft 2 has dubs where like they have different voice actors like go through the different lines for the different races and stuff. And those are really cool. Mm-hmm. Those sell really well. But like again, like they could just use
voice packs. Yeah, that would be actually so cool.
That would be really cool. Like voice packs for different stuff. Like, hey, here's your NA content creator voice pack. Here's your EU content creator voice pack, whatever. And it just changes a few NPCs. I would pay for it. I think it would be cool. They'd make a tremendous amount of money on it. It's not pay to win. We would all do it for free. Let's be real. I'm doing it for free. You guys doing it for free? Like, yep. Jay, if you have to voice one of the characters in the video game that you play, wouldn't you just do that for free? They save money.
Of course. Yeah.
They save money. They make money. We are happy. It's just a win-win for everyone. Win-win for everybody. So, I don't know. Like, I do think that the game is tiptoeing in the right direction. As long as the global lab patches continue to be positive steps in the right direction, people are asking me to do another UN podcast. In the next like week or two here. And I don't know if I have the strength, dude. It messes up my sleep schedule like so badly for like the whole week. It's just really hard on me. But like I think that if it keeps the game moving in the right direction, I probably will. Because it felt like they did listen to the last one. They usually listen to the UN podcast, I'll admit. And all they had to hear was the word boycott, apparently. Like that was like, hey, people are just not spending as much money on the game. Red alert! Red alert! Bring in the Berserk outfits! You know what I mean? Like it's been insane. It's been insane. So, like, I hope that they keep trending in the right direction. There's definitely been a little bit less Doomer content. I literally had to talk to my editor. I was like, "Nope. Bro, we got to put out a little bit less Doomer content." He's like, "Bro, that's all you give me." I'm like, "You got to find something.
You got to find something." And I'm the Doomer.
You got to find something.
That's kind of weird how that works out.
Like, you gotta find something, bro. So like we've been like methodically trying to avoid the Doomer content as long as like for the most part, as long as they keep trending in the right direction. But I'll admit the game is still headed down. On Steam, Like I said, I just showed the charts. It's not like that's not like all the players, right? But it's a good indicator for like how the game is doing in the West. At least for all the rest of us. So like, I don't know, we'll see. We will see. Okay, so I think that we are out of time, so we should probably do closing thoughts. Jay's been going first all night. Blonde, why don't you give the closing thoughts here?
Closing thoughts. We'll see. Like I say every week, who freaking knows, bro? We'll see. If they continue with the trends, then cool. If they don't, we're screwed.
He's but like, hey, I'm logged into RuneScape anyway. Screw
yeah, just make sure to log in and get your Berserk outfit when it comes out this week. Coming next week.
No, right Blonde.
Get your Griffith and your Berserker costume, you know? Because you never know when it's going to come back.
Never know when the game's going to die again.
Yep.
Jay!
Closing thoughts is I think the BSR rework could still be improved, and I'm really excited for Black Shrine 2, and while we wait for that, you can find me over at twitch.tv/shakenvtv before the T.
Right on. Okay, let's go ahead, before I do my outro, let's go ahead and pick our favorite outfits. You guys are definitely here and listening.
Yeah.
Okay, your favorite outfit, Jay, which one's your favorite?
The Downloaded.
Oh, this one right here.
Yeah, the one with the gold plate with the blue.
Yeah, the one that's been wearing bosoms. A bikini for the rest of the, yeah. I like that one,
it's
too.
It's a good shape.
Good shape. Yeah, in good shape. Good way of putting it.
Yep.
My favorite is definitely this Dark Knight. It's actually just crazy. The character model, the dye. This looks crisp. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't. That's the Viridas hood. I think
it looks like a supermodel.
I know. It's so good. The Sintera Vediant, the Viridas hood. I'm not sure which pants those are or what cape that is, though. Yeah, I'm not sure which outfit that is, like the body of. But
and she's stroking that sword. Oh my god.
Oh my god, we love the Dark Knight idol animation. They knew exactly what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing, yeah.
Awesome. That's why we have a Dark Knight statue. Anyway, Blonde, which one's your favorite?
The Golden Jester.
The Golden Jester on the right?
Bro, the dude that's sitting in timeout.
Yeah. I love that costume. You have to make that in the city. You have to like have workers make it for you to get that costume. I mean, I guess you could just buy it, but
yeah, I think
that's a funny one.
I think I'm probably gonna get that outfit because you know I'm kind of the court jester of the game, so it's kind of my thing.
I ended up making one for my Draconia. It's just so funny looking.
Hey, you're still in timeout. Sit the fuck back down. Look away. Look away. All right. I am Blue Squadron. There's always something going on my channel. We're actually, honestly, we've been really branching out in terms of like overall content and stuff. We've been in Just Chatting, Wukong, special events, all kinds of stuff. So there's two new YouTube videos every day. One usually on BDO, one on other stuff. And then our Twitch content's diversifying as well. So check that out as well. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, make sure that you interact with the video, whether it be on YouTube or you're looking at Spotify or Apple Podcasts, because that's where the podcast comes out there as well. Just make sure you hit that follow button so we know you're into it on that platform. Into it, that sounded like they sexually, but that's fine. We'll just overlook that for a second. We love reading the comments every week. We comment on each other all the time, and you might just get talked about on the next podcast. I appreciate all the support that you guys gave to Blonde. You guys can stop faking now. It's okay. You don't have to pretend to agree with him because you feel bad for him. I completely get it. Totally understand. Totally understand. But from all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, Jay, don't interrupt me when I'm speaking, okay? I was trying to do it so passive aggressively, bro. I was trying to just be a dick about it.
Okay, yeah, no worries.
Yeah. All right, yeah, thanks. Okay, shut up. We just discussed this. Okay. Have a great rest of your week, guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.